Well, we are here with you this morning, even though our computer crashed on Thursday. And there's been a lot of effort that's gone into this, and so we're here, for which we are grateful. Our lesson this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, relating righteously to the secular government. Several believers in different states of the nation have reported on the increasing difficulty they face in living in accord with Bible truth, since doing so conflicts with the godless world's deteriorating culture. 1 Peter was written to Christians who stand for Jesus Christ, made them aliens and strangers in the midst of a pagan society. So we study 1 Peter for our edification. 1 Peter 2, 13 to 17 calls us to relate righteously to the secular government, and we view it for our insight. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, we're grateful for the privilege that we have of having the Word of God in our own language. We also have study tools. We can get into the original texts. We have the Holy Spirit within us who is behind the men of God who wrote, so that what the men wrote was exactly what you wanted them to write. And then the Spirit of God illuminates the Word of God to us so we can understand it, and then He equips us to live it as we rely on His power. We pray, Father, for wisdom this morning to utilize all of these ministrations of the Spirit of God, that we might end up living the text, living the truth of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the slaves or servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, that would be the Christian brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Peter's call for believers living under Emperor Nero, just before his outbreak of persecution against them in AD 64, to submit to every creation, literally, kodesse, that is, every law or institution made by man, may initially seem to direct that we are to obey the government with blind allegiance or blindly. However, this is the same Peter who called for biblical civil disobedience against human authorities in Acts 5:29. Which disobedience was practiced by Old Testament Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, 6 through 10. In Acts 5:29, after the Sanhedrin had directed the apostles no longer to preach the gospel in the name of Jesus, they said, look, it is better for us to obey God than man. So we're going to go out and we're going to continue to do that. That's God's will. Daniel, when he had heard of the decree of the king that no one is supposed to make a petition or request of any god or the king other than the king himself for the next 30 days, Daniel, knowing that the decree had been signed, it's very clear in Daniel chapter, Daniel 6, 6 through 10, Daniel went ahead as he had before. He knelt down in front of his window that faced the city of Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day. Why did he pray in that direction? Well, Solomon, back at the dedication of the temple, had said that if God's people were ever taken captive because of their sin, they ended up in a foreign country, if they prayed towards this temple and confessed their sins and asked God for the capacity to be reinstated to the nation, then God in heaven would hear and answer. And that's what Daniel was doing. Three times a day he would pray, he confessing the sins of the people, he was begging God to restore them to the land. Now Daniel knew from the prophecy, we know that in Daniel chapter 9, he knew from the prophecy of Jeremiah that they were going to be stuck there for 70 years. And God had predicted that. But he still went ahead and prayed. But that's practicing civil disobedience. So, Peter's phrase, for the Lord's sake, in 1 Peter 2:13 provides the clarification we need. How then do we obey the government, submit to every ordinance of man that has been created by the government, at the same time practice civil disobedience when God requires it? What are the details involved? Well, we Christians are to obey government authorities in alignment with God's will, for God was the one who instituted human government. Back in Genesis chapter 9, I don't know what's going on here, verses 5 and 6, to provide for law and order in society. The institution of government with its authority to administer capital punishment for murder in Genesis 9, 5, and 6 followed the Noahic flood that God used to destroy the godless world that was full of violent murder. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, they were full of violent murder. So when they came out of the ark, God says, all right, we have a new rule. If anybody murders somebody else, his life is supposed to be taken by the government. That's capital punishment. Now, God intended that murder be curbed by instituting capital punishment for this crime to be administered by human government, thus providing for a lawful society for man's safety. However, when Israel's leaders had crucified God's Messiah and intended to stop people from hearing the gospel of eternal salvation by directing the apostles not to preach in Christ's name, those officials failed in their divine assignment to provide for man's welfare, while also calling for the apostles to disobey God relative to their ministries. So the apostles had to obey God over man. See, when the government gets to the point where it rules in such a way that it counters the will of God for us, or tries to direct us to do opposite the will of God, we have to disobey the government, because the whole point of government was supposed to establish law and order for man's safety, not contradict it. So, our obedience to human government is to be made as a means of upholding our testimony in the Lord, and that requires us to obey government when it rightly upholds law and order, while also practicing civil disobedience when upholding obedience to God and our testimony demands it. Let me use an illustration. Right now, I personally believe, now you might not agree with this, that we are being overtaxed at the federal level and overtaxed at the state level. Okay, that's my personal belief. All right. I think it's the true belief, but nevertheless. But the government has a right to tax us that way. I mean, they've got the law. And there's nothing in paying extra taxes that makes me disobey God. So what I need to do is to go ahead and pay those taxes. Now, in China, they have a law, or at least they did for a while, that they were trying to curb the population explosion. So you can have one child, but if you're pregnant with a second child, you must get an abortion. That's where a Christian says, no, 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 no. God doesn't want me to do that because that is murder, so we will not carry out. That's where you have to practice civil disobedience. Now, we therefore, God's will is thus fulfilled in our heeding an orderly secular government, by heeding the authorities, we put to silence the ignorance of foolish men who slander us as being lawless. So, Peter clarified that the believers submitting to civil authorities did not negate the liberty that they had in Jesus Christ. Remember, we have liberty in Christ, Galatians 5:1 and 5:18, but that our decision of our own free will to heed the civil authorities of an orderly government is God's will in presenting a good testimony before the world. However, obeying the government should never be used as a cover-up. The Greek word is epikaleima, which is a veil, for evil. But we should live as slaves of God, though being free before the world. In other words, we're not supposed to submit to the government as though we're slaves to the government itself. We're not innate slaves, we're free men. But we are choosing of our volition to submit to the ordinances of the government, because that's part of our testimony of showing that we are godly people. So that's why we obey the government. In summary, we believers should respect everyone, love the brotherhood of fellow believers, revere God and honor the King, a fourfold summation of Christian citizenship in a godless world. So to relate righteously to the civil or the secular government, we believers must realize that God instituted human government as a rewarder of those in society who do good, but a punisher of those who do evil. That we then submit to every law and institution of orderly civil government. However, since the secular government at times may fail in God's objective for it to where it demands that believers do what disobeys God's will for them, we believers must practice civil disobedience when the demands of the government and God counter each other. So in application, may we seek to obey all laws and institutions of human government to do God's will and uphold a good testimony in society. Second, may we obey human government even if its expectations are hard for us, but may we practice biblical civil disobedience when the directives of God and government for us clash. A number of years ago, I was called in for jury duty, and I had moved the date to, I think it's just before New Year's, because I'd heard that, you know, that's when they're more apt to dismiss you. Well, the government's gotten on to that, so. So I was called in, and, you know, even though I'd moved the date up, and it was a murder trial. All right, so you go into this room where they got all the witnesses, and then they call witnesses individually out for examination by the judge and by the lawyers that are involved. And they play a video, and on the video they say, you must do everything that the judge tells you. Even if it's not your personal belief, you have to, I thought, whoa, now what do I do? I felt like getting up and walking out, but if I'd done that, I would have been jailed. Because you have to go in there. So I committed to the Lord, but now what am I going to do, God? Because if they ask me a question about, you know, I'm going to get into a difficulty. Well, they know I'm a pastor because you have to put down your occupation, where you pastor and how long you've been there. So sure enough, I eventually got called in, and I went in, and I had to take the oath that I would tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me. They didn't say, oh, help me, God. They leave that out now. To help you. Okay, so I sit there and the judge says, well, this is interesting that it's unusual we have someone such as yourself here. And I said, well, thank you. And then he said, I need to know, is there any reason whatsoever that you cannot obey a command of mine? He put it out there. So I said, well, I tried to state it as positively as I could. I said, there's no reason why I can't obey all the commands you make, except if there is a conflict between the law of God and the law of man, then I have to side with the law of God. I was trying to keep him, you and God, I guess, the law of God and the law of man. And he says, wait a minute. He picked right up on it, he's bright. He said, you mean that if I tell you, and if I give you an order as part of the jury, if you're on the jury, that you have to go under direction, but you feel that that violates God, and then he corrected himself, your higher power. Okay. That you will obey, you will disobey me for your higher power? And I said, yes. And he said, well, I don't believe in creating conflicts like this. So he looked at the lawyers, and the lawyers, they were scared to death to say anything. You could just see them, they shrugged their shoulders. They didn't want any part of this discussion. So I didn't know, you know, are they going to jail me for contempt of court or what? But he said, you're dismissed. They dismissed me. They didn't want to get me on there. And so the bailiff right away ushered me out, you know, go over there. There's a lady there. She had a, and she gave me a number. Go down the hall and give it to the person at the door. So I went down and gave it to them. They said, all right, you are free to go. So I went out. I understand, now that I'm 73, they don't call you back for civil or court duty. I don't know. We'll see. But I went right back from that, came back into the, I was in the office. And because I had been concerned about how much time this is going to take away from study, what are we going to do? I was concerned about the conflict. But the Lord used that as an opportunity. And I realized that it's amazing. When Connecticut started out, Connecticut started out as a country, as a state, that was subject to the laws of God. And they would never think of not being able to set a pastor in a court case. But because of what I told the judge, that I would have to side with God over him, there's enough of a difference between the biblical dictates of what is right and wrong and what is in the law system. The judge knew good and well, we can't put this guy, we can't seat him. I probably never would be seated in a court of law. So, you know, that's a situation. I didn't have to get into civil disobedience. I was going along as far as I could with the situation, but had to tell the truth. I told the judge, this is where we're at. So I realized from that experience also that as Christians, we're getting into a situation where because of what's happening in the law, because of what's happening in society, more and more we're going to be out on a limb as far as our beliefs. It's amazing. The beliefs that we have used to be the bedrock foundation of what the nation held to. But the nation has drifted so far from that. We haven't changed. We've held, but the nation has drifted so far that we're out on a limb in regards to the nation on this. So what we need to do is to seek to obey the government and to seek to be law-abiding citizens. And I did that by showing up at the court. I was there on time, sat there. When they called my name in, came in. I swore the oath that I would tell the truth, sat down. But when it came, push came to shove, and the judge laid it on the line. I had to let him know. And I believe that's what we have to do. We have to obey to the point of, you know, if we had to discipline. And I knew this was a murder trial, so I thought, okay, I believe in murder, automatic death penalty. And if the person, and it's interesting, in this particular case, the man who was on trial for murder was convicted, but they just put him in prison. I would, on part of the jury, I wouldn't have agreed with that. I would have disobeyed the government. Says, no, he needs to be put to death. If he's convicted as a murderer, he needs to be put to death. He'd shot a man at a bar brawl or something. You know, it's one of those things. But nevertheless, murder is murder. But we need to seek to obey as far as we can, but when it gets to the point where it forces us into a position of deciding to obey God or man, we have to obey God. But we need to do it as respectfully as we can. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have, if you had some.